Hello, it's Wednesday, December 14th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. And what we're going to talk about today, since we had the recent execution of Tukey Williams out in California, is how various groups in this country view life and death. But before we get to that, we have to mention a few things. First of all, we're always so rushed on this show, Lisa. We try to jam-pack so much into every show that we fail as often as we should to thank everybody that's tuning into this show. So I want to take a moment right now and just thank everyone, not only for watching, but for the emails that they send, the comments that they give us, good and bad.
Right, and especially those people who have been trying, you know, unsuccessfully to get our show due to high traffic and spend sometimes just weeks trying to get the show as they come up, and we just really appreciate your patience and your diligence and hang in there.
Probably with the radio show, I don't think they have trouble getting that. And with the TV show, it's always hardest the first night that it comes up. So that's why we give 2 or 3 days leeway now between versions of the TV show. So if you don't get it the first day,
try it the second
try
day.
Try the next.
The traffic tends to even out on the second day.
Also, we want to mention that Friday night, we're going to appear on Visigoths from the Grassy Knoll. I think it's going to be a four-way, Lisa, myself.
Friday.
And also Vinny Sammartino, I guess, is going to also appear. So that should be a...
For those of you who don't know, Vincent Sammartino is a 9/11 researcher, and he's got excellent things to say when it comes to 9/11, Flight 93, and the controlled demolition.
So go to the Wing TV homepage in the right-hand column. You'll see the link there going to Viz's show. And also, this morning here, when I left the house at 4:20 a.m., 6 to 8 degrees below zero in my car, and there were people calling into the radio station saying it was minus 14 degrees they were living.
Victor's very freaked out by this, but I'm sure the people in the Midwest will have very little sympathy with the temperature here in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I'm used to it. It's just, it's only December, and we're already in the minus double digits. I can't imagine what January and February are going to bring.
Well, I think we got a pretty easy pass on the summer. It was a mild summer here, so...
Yeah. So anyway, couple quick things. First, Lisa, somebody added the Wing TV link to a site. Tell them what they said.
Right. We want to thank the good folks at alaskabush.homestead.com for adding the Wing TV link to their website. They said, nobody owns these folks. Yeah, get that one right.
That's what they said beneath the links, is nobody owns these folks, and we're very, very honored to have them say that about us.
We thank you and appreciate it very much.
Right. Also, we got an email today from somebody in England, and in the subject line it just said money. And here's what the message said. Dear Alex Jones, you are starting to look like a money grabber. In case you haven't noticed, that makes you look like the other greedy bastards that you're trying to expose. Eventually, you will have no credibility, and we need all the unity we can muster, mister. I'm from the UK. Imagine what you look like to your own. Sort it out, man. Don't forget that information is words and should be free. Very good. So we thank that individual.
We concur with that.
Yeah. Like we say here, Wing TV, always free. Don't pay for internet news. So anyway, now, let's get to life and death. And we were talking last night. That's where a lot of our ideas come from on the shows, when Lisa and myself talk off air. And we're talking about this execution of Tukey Williams. And I said, it's funny how the right is very much pro-death penalty. So they support the death penalty, yet they're against abortion, but and they're pro-war. So the right has some things where they're pro-life, and then other things where they support the death of people. On the other hand, the left, then, is definitely pro-abortion. As Lisa brought up, they're pro-euthanasia.
The left didn't have any problem with voting to murder a defenseless disabled woman named Terri Schiavo. They don't seem to have any problem with murdering defenseless babies before they're born.
Right.
Yet, they have a problem with the execution of an adult who's committed a capital offense.
Right, and they're, by and large, anti-war. So both sides here now, we see, aren't actually consistent in their views about life and death.
They seem to be cherry-picking, selective in what people, what classes of criminals or even non-criminals, what classes of human beings are eligible for execution. And it's kind of funny because they're pretty inconsistent, you know, in what's acceptable in that regard and what isn't.
Right. So if you look at the conservatives on capital punishment, they'll say, oh, well, you know, they deserve it. We shouldn't kill babies because they're innocent, but we have someone here that went and killed 12 people or raped some woman and chopped her head off. He deserves to be executed, and we see their point. But then when you look at all these gung-ho right-wingers that are supporting the war in Iraq and also in Vietnam, you have to stand back a second and ask yourself, what did those people in Iraq personally do to harm you?
Right, and what absolute right does the United States have to execute those people, regardless?
Or, you know, any people. Ask yourself 40 years ago, what did the people in Vietnam personally do to harm anybody in this country? I was old enough to remember the Vietnam War. And ask yourself again, was Vietnam really a threat to the security of this nation? Well, 40 years later, we look at it and say, absolutely not. They weren't. And do you really think that Iraq truly was a threat to the United States? Well, we know that's not true, because the real reason we invaded Iraq was because of the currency they switched to buy oil with. That's the real reason we went in there.
And are the executions that are going on in Iraq, are they going to serve as a deterrent for future terrorist activities or threats to our country?
Yeah.
Is that been proven?
Well, there's so many questions that are open with this. So we were watching a little news clip when we were eating supper last night about this Tukey Williams, and it was pretty hard to bear because they said it took this woman, the nurse that was going to administer the needle into his arm, it took her like 10 or 12 jabs to actually get the needle into his arm. And this guy's laying there strapped to a gurney. And he's finally like asking her, do you know what you're doing there? Here's a guy that's going to be dead in a couple minutes, if that's not bad enough. And yet she's jabbing into his arm, and she can't get the needle in. Can you imagine?
I don't really care what they say. I don't think that there's any method of execution that is instant, painless, or humane. I mean, it's got to be gruesome and terrifying to the person, regardless of what they did to get to that point. You know, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow at 8 a.m., how would you feel?
Well, there's a great scene from a movie, and Lisa saw this, The Executioner Song. It was about Gary Gilmore, who is the first person to be executed after the United States reenacted this law in 1977. And there's a great scene where he's in the courtroom, he's already been found guilty, and Gary Gilmore is the one that wanted the death penalty because he believed in karma and reincarnation. He said, I unjustly took two other men's lives for no reason. I deserve to pay with my own life. So he's in the courtroom, and the judge says, Mr. Gilmore, is there a method of execution that you prefer? And he stands up and he says, Your Honor, I prefer to be shot. And that's exactly what they did at the end of the movie. And you remember that scene, don't you? He has a black shirt on, and they taped this white target to his chest.
Uh-huh.
And he's sitting there with a black hood over his face. And the shooters are behind this like wall, so the only thing you can see through the holes is their guns. And they just boom, 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 boom like that, you know. But when he said, I prefer to be shot, at least he was going out like a man. That's the way I took it.
I'm very conflicted about this issue because,
right.
You know, I guess we look at certain classes of criminals as worse than others. The question is, can we trust the system that we know is already very broken to get it right every single time? Well, obviously we can't.
Yeah. And we were talking last night. We were saying, well, where do we stand on the death penalty? And even though in theory I wholeheartedly believe in a death penalty, when it comes right down to it, I have to say that I'm opposed to it. But if someone emailed me and said, here's the top 10 reasons why we should have the death penalty, I'd probably agree with every single one of them. I just can't see, with all of these things, when we talked about abortion, war, capital punishment, euthanasia, we have to be consistent in our views. And since I'm totally against abortion, totally against euthanasia, totally against this war, then how can I say, well, man shouldn't take another man's life for these reasons, but they should for the death penalty? But then again, I said, what if somebody came in and killed Lisa or killed my son, or killed our families, would we still say we're against the death penalty? I'm not sure I could right then.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is, you know, a lot of people seem to find it very acceptable to accept a death sentence by from their doctor. Say the doctor tells you have cancer. That's acceptable, but it's not acceptable to get a death sentence from a judge for committing a crime. And the person who has cancer didn't necessarily commit any crime, yet they've got a death sentence imposed upon them, too.
Well, but they didn't commit any crimes against anyone. I mean, there's...
Well, that's what I just said.
Yeah.
I don't know. I struggle with this issue, too. I look at, like, the events of 9/11.
Well, see, now, that's what I was going to bring up next, because Lisa had a great point when we were coming home, and she was talking about the true culprits behind 9/11, the bloodthirsty monsters. And tell everyone what you said. If these people were found guilty of these crimes...
If they were found guilty in a lawful court, I guess I'm not as spiritually evolved, because I don't think, at this moment, that I would have a problem with them being executed and put to death. I don't think in my heart that I would have a problem watching them die.
I think you even took it one step further and said you might not have a problem being the one that would be the executioner.
Well, if I had that job and they were found guilty in court of the crimes of 9/11, I don't think I'd have a problem. Excuse
right.
me.
I mean, so there's another way now we have to look at this is 9/11 was the worst terrorist attack ever against this country. Look at how many people in this country have spent 4+ years now trying to find out and trying to prove and expose who is truly behind this mass murder of nearly 3,000 innocent people. What if we found the George Bush? Or what if we found out that some of these other people in the government or in private industry, private defense contractors, were the ones that actually planned, coordinated, and executed 9/11. Would we want them to just sit in prison in a cushy country club prison
right.
all their life? Or
year,
should we call for them to be executed?
Year after year, with endless appeal after endless appeal, costing society money, while they try to skirt the system, and obviously these people are wealthy, and I don't know that it would really be a deterrent if, say, they did get the death sentence imposed. I mean, these people are more than likely psychopaths.
I mean, look at Kenneth Lay. How many years has it been now since this whole Enron thing went down, and he's still walking free? I mean, it's been, what, 3 or 4 years now, and that's the same thing that would happen with the true culprits behind 9/11. So if they were ever found and convicted of a jury, I don't know if I could say not to give them the death penalty. So, you know, we're...
Well, I go beyond you, Victor, because I could tell you right now that if it happened tomorrow, I wouldn't bat an eye. I would not bat an eye watching the guilty parties basically being incapacitated. Dead criminals cannot commit any further crimes. And maybe that's not so spiritually evolved of me to say that, but...
Yeah.
But I feel like society has to draw a line somewhere. I am so torn on this. I don't
well, see, that's,
know what the right thing is.
I'm glad you brought up the spiritual evolution, because when you look at the right and the left now, they view life and death from different perspectives. The left is more secular-oriented. In other words, instead of having a God to base everything on, they say man is the measure of all things. And if we take that as any kind of credo, we're in more trouble than I thought, because if man is the measure of all things, we're in big,
well,
big trouble.
You know, if we strip someone else of their humanity by executing them, and this is the other side of my brain talking, you know, then what does that say about our own humanity?
Right. And the thing with the left that really gets me, the biggest problem with the Clinton presidency was that Bill Clinton created this gray area, this massive gray area, where there's really no right and no wrong. You know, it's like, oh, well, why should we worry about his personal life, what he's doing with Monica Lewinsky, or what he's done with 100 or 1,000 other women? So, see, the left, they don't want anything to be right or wrong. It's all just, well, you know, it's all just personal choice. But then the right, they're thinking that, oh, we're in this war because God told us to be in this war.
Yeah.
You know, so you have people like Pat Robertson, who says, well, you know what, we should go down there and assassinate Chavez. in Venezuela. So these are the religious people, or you have the phonies, like Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, uh-huh. or Jimmy Swaggart, that are just pure money grubbers. And we've said it before, is when we talk about the money grubbers in the religious right, these televangelists, that's who a lot of these people in the alternative media remind us of. They use the same techniques to dupe the stupid people and to just suck in money out of them.
I hearken back to the death of Terri Schiavo, the murder of Terri Schiavo. Yeah. And I think about how coldly,
yeah.
but those on the right and the left, and a lot of people in everyday America who sat and watched this whole death
right.
march, wanted this woman to be killed.
Plus,
starved and thirsted to death.
Plus, when they had the vote in Congress, and everybody's hero on the left, Cynthia McKinney, did she vote to spare Terri Schiavo's life?
No. And that's why I will always have a hard time looking at these people in Congress who are heralded by so many in the alternative media and patriot movement as heroes. I don't look at Cynthia McKinney as a hero.
No way.
She voted to murder a disabled, defenseless woman who committed no crime.
Yeah, so they come out and parade around and think they're so high and mighty because they're like, oh my God, it's inhumane to murder this Tukey guy or this prisoner down in Texas. Yet they'll kill Terri Schiavo. They'll slaughter a million babies a year.
Right.
And they have no problem.
I wonder if Cynthia McKinney would have voted the same way if that was her mother or her sister
right.
or her child
right.
in the same position as Terri Schiavo. Would she have so quickly voted to murder that person?
Yeah. Now, let's talk about another issue that's related to this, Lisa, and we haven't discussed this, is what's the solution? Say we don't execute the criminals.
Right.
Then that means that we're going to have to pay that. When I say we, I mean the taxpayers are going to have to pay for these people, some of them to be in prison for 40, 60, 80 years. And I don't like the idea that our tax money is going to support all of these millions of criminals now. So what's the solution? Here's what I came up with.
What?
Is we have to have a classification or some kind of category of the worst criminals. That would be murderers, rapists, someone who assaults people, you know, bashes their head in with a hammer or whatever, and arsonists. And you know, this could be fine-tuned. But I'm saying, instead of murdering them, and instead of keeping them in prison all their life, there's another solution. What if we have an island somewhere or a land where we just take all of these people, say it's an island, just for argument's sake, an island, and it's a big plush island, there's crops there's trees, everything.
Exile them?
Drop them. Drop them on the island and say, you have total, complete, 100% freedom. You'll just never leave the island again. And they'll have some boats around it to make sure they don't escape. But instead of being in
guarded boats.
Yeah, guarded boats. So if someone tries to swim off or whatever. So instead of executing them, instead of keeping them in prison, they have total 100% freedom on the island. But they never get off.
The people who regard retribution as an acceptable reason for executing people would probably have a problem with that.
Well, what do you think of that? I mean, there's no taxpayer money except for the plane ticket. And you just parachute them in and say, all right, you're on your own now. You guys have your own government, your own society, your own economics. You just run your island, criminal island.
I don't know. I'm conflicted because I think for somebody who kills a child, you know, or the people who perpetrated 9/11 and killed thousands of people and left thousands of children orphaned. I don't know. I think that they, you know,
well, maybe
the eye
they
for
would,
an eye thing applied.
Well, maybe they would take care of it on the island their own way. I mean, you know, in prison, the child molesters are always the lowest on the totem pole, and those are the ones that get the worst retribution. If they parachute a guy in that killed six babies or you know, molested six kids or whatever, they take care of things their own way down there.
I'm not as forgiving as you, I guess.
Well, I don't think that's forgiving at all.
Well, the leniency part. I think it's I think it's a little lenient to just let them live a life, you know, what? So they have other people to talk to.
But it's all criminal.
They can do what they want. They're free to move around. They're a big deal. They're on an island. I'm sure a lot of people would rather be on an island than where they are right now.
But,
or in jail.
But see, the problem, at least in my eyes, is done away with. We put them on the island, and whatever the hell happens, happens.
What
I don't
if they
give
escape?
A damn. No, there's no escape.
But
because,
how do you know that?
Well,
there's
that's
always
guaranteed.
The chance that they could escape.
No. If you put 100 boats around it, with machine guns on, and say, even put 1 foot in the water, you're done. You're shot. You know, we've given you 100% freedom, but even put one toe in, bang, it's done.
And who's going to watch the guards?
Well,
and
I mean,
make sure they do their job.
This is just conceptual.
They're
so
not corruptible?
Let's just say that that part goes good, okay?
I'm just saying. In your ideal utopian prison world?
Well, criminal island. And I think this would be the best way to do it, because imagine how many billions of dollars are squandered every year on the prison system, and also the judges and the lawyers, and the,
but I think they spend like an average of 11 to 15 years on death row with these endless appeals.
I mean, and this is just non-productive, wasted money that's being spent on a prison system. Now, of course, you just can't put somebody on criminal island if they go in and shoplift a pack of gum or whatever, but you have the categories. It's like, if you do A, B, C, D, or E,
okay, but you're going on the premise that the court system is lawful and fair and honest, and that mistakes never happen, and people don't get paid off.
Well,
and this is not true. So we see a lot of, I would say there are probably a lot of innocent people that get the death penalty who didn't commit the crime or was set up or somebody was paid off.
Well, yeah, of course, that's something that has to be considered, but
right,
how many
so how
people...
how do you get around that?
Well, how do you get around someone sitting in prison for 40 years, and then when he's 62 years old, they say, oops, we made a mistake. Well, you've just taken 40 years of this man's life.
And is it worth imposing the wrong sentence on an innocent person to have this, you know, stick them on this island? And then what happens? How do you compensate if it ends up being that the person is innocent, that they've spent
How do you
years
compensate if they put them in jail?
Well,
it doesn't matter where they're at. I mean, if a mistake's made, it's made. I'm not talking about the mistake being made in the judicial system. I'm talking about what happens afterward.
Right, but in order to look at what happens afterward, you have to see who's the determinant that decides if this person goes to the island or not.
Or if they go to prison.
Wait, can we
You're
trust
missing
them?
The point. You're missing the whole point. Is that once they're there, either in prison or executed on death row or on criminal island, whether they're there at any of them places, that's after the decision has already been made.
But I don't trust the people making the decision.
But so that means then we have no...
Do you?
No,
do you?
I don't either,
but that
means we don't have... Then we should just have no legal system whatsoever.
No, that's not what it means. I don't have faith in the system because the system is broken, mistakes are made, innocent people are wrongly accused and put to death or put in prison for life. And I could see the same thing happening with your little island scenario, too.
Yeah, so what?
So we need not only an alternative then to the death penalty, but we need an alternative to the system that puts them in these situations to begin with.
Yeah, but we
a better system.
We can't guarantee that someone's going to get a fair trial. That can't be guaranteed. I'm saying after the decision has been made, if it's done to the best of our ability, then what do? Do we put someone in prison for 60 years to rot and pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep them there? Or do we put them on criminal island and not pay a cent?
I see what you're saying. I understand your point. But once again, I don't trust the system to make the right decision every time.
Well, I don't either.
But we have to have some kind of level of certainty that we're not going to destroy an innocent person's life, you know. I don't think it's worth destroying one innocent person's life.
So what do you do then?
I don't
know.
You don't put anybody
in prison?
No, I don't have the answer to that. That's why I'm so conflicted, because I see that the death penalty does act as a deterrent in a lot of ways. And
see, I don't think it does at all.
I do. I think in when people see the actual execution part of it, not the death sentence imposition, because there's more imposition of the death sentence than actual executions that occur.
See, I think when someone's going to kill someone, they're not thinking about anything else.
Well, maybe with, like, psychopaths. But then you have the people who are, like, the crimes of passion, or you have people
but
who
are not thinking
insanity.
Yeah, but they're not thinking about what's going to happen afterwards. If it's a crime of passion, it's such a white, just blinding rage.
Well, you know what?
There's
we're
nothing.
All potentially capable of committing
that's
a murder
right.
because we're all human.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, that's our views on this. And
as you can see, we didn't come to any real solid conclusion because we're very conflicted.
Well, I came to a conclusion on Criminal Island.
Well, what island would you pick?
Well, I don't know. It's just conceptual now. I don't know where the island would be. We might even have to build one. But I like the concept of instead of us paying all this unproductive money.
They made a movie about that, didn't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, they did. I can't remember the name of it. If anybody knows, let us know.
Yeah. But anyway, these are our thoughts on this subject, and let us know what you think. Now, we're going to be back tomorrow with Michael Collins Piper, one of our favorite, if not our favorite guest of all time, and just a fantastic guy. We consider him the best writer there is. So take a look at the Wing TV homepage. Check out our article today, the news updates, and we'll be back tomorrow.
And if you have an answer to this whole dilemma with the death penalty, or you have some ideas of your own for alternatives, let us know. We'll see you tomorrow.